Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Good morning, all. Are you all right? It's Monday. Let's get on with it. The 16th of February in the year of our Lord, 2026. It is just gone 8 in the a.m. Greenwich Mean Time. You are the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers. Thank you for tuning in. I'm joined by Little Harry, my producer. How are you, sir?
Morning. Yeah, I'm all good.
Good, good. And we've got a poll in the chat. Put that poll up. If you're in the chat, click on that poll. Why not? Doesn't cost anything. Give it a whirl. Let us know your thoughts and feelings on that bad boy. All right, let's get straight into it. What is going on in the world? What does the corporate mainstream media think is interesting for you this morning? Let's just dive straight in then. So, truth is antidote to Putin's poison. And Europe's sabotage campaign. Let's see, that's a bit cryptic, is it? Let's see what they're banging on about exactly. All right, the eye paper. UK to cut Russian defence fund as Kremlin poison threat revealed. So they're talking about actual poisoning from the Russians, not just sort of the metaphorical poison of Russian influence, like actual poisoning. Litvinenko. Okay. It says, government will slash vital funding to counter Russian operations against the UK despite concerns over Moscow's growing aggression and claims poison was used in assassination. Okay, so in fact, let me just read the rest of that blurb so we can cover it all in one hit. Opposition parties call changes to integrated security fund deeply irresponsible, but ministers insist spending will focus on the most acute threats to UK national security. Britain and allies plan new sanctions against Moscow after announcing the Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny was poisoned with toxin from a South American frog, or South American frogs. Former British Army commander countering chemical weapons. Is that what it says? So it's very small for me, but I think countering chemical weapons warns Russia has an advanced program. We are likely to see more of this because it is so effective. All right, so the British Foreign Office, Yvette Cooper, Mrs. Ed Balls, and the Foreign Office have released some sort of paper which was looking at the death of that Alexei Navalny, a Russian opposition leader who died in prison, I believe, under suspicious circumstances, that he may or was poisoned by a particular poison that comes from South American frogs. So there you go. I mean, but yet also at the same time, also the story is at the same time that we're going to be cutting funding to, you know, like counter Russian operations. It's funny, isn't it? Funny odd that with all the hysteria around Russia, including trying to blame the Epstein affair on Russians, including all of this stuff, just the constant sanctions and the constant talk about Russia, some of it, a lot of it actually completely valid, still gonna cut the funding to it. All right, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, all right. Because when I'm sort of fairly anti-Ukraine, sometimes get a little bit of stick for being pro-Russian. Not at all, not at all. They are brutal scumbags in the Kremlin. Let's just say it. Right, let's just say it. Brutal, brutal scumbags. Like the poisoning of Litvinenko. Let's remember Sasha Litvinenko for a moment, shall we? I mean, one thing I would say about old Sasha is it was from the Russian point of view, and this isn't justifying the murder of Litvinenko, but I'm just saying, facts of the matter are, he was a complete traitor as far as they're concerned, right? He wasn't FSB, some sort of senior, middling to senior FSB agent that defected and was working against them. So from their point of view, he's like an utter, utter traitor. Not that justifies it. But yeah, like a really elaborate poisoning in a London hotel with like a polonium 210, wasn't it? It was a full-blown radioactive thing. A horrible way to die. It sort of it destroys the lining of your stomach so you can't absorb any nutrients or even medicines and things in the end. Terrible, horrible, horrible, horrible way to die. Just doing that in London. Or the Novichok stuff. Remember that Skripal? And his daughter, or was it his niece? I can't remember, but that general or colonel Skripal, whatever he was. Again, he was actually Russian military. I think he was GRU or FSB, whatever he was. Again, from the Russian point of view, an arch traitor. Again, not that I'm justifying it at all. A nerve agent. What, you're using nerve agents in Salisbury? Yeah, I'm not pro-Kremlin. Yeah, I'm not pro-Putin. Just because I throw shade at Zelensky, don't make me pro-Putin. Yeah, when they tried to poison the one of the previous Ukrainian presidents, what was his name? I can't remember his name off the top of my head now. Yushchenko, was it? Yushchenko? They poisoned him like half his face even to this day. Like, he very, very nearly died. Somehow he didn't die. And like, there's loads, they do loads of that stuff. They're crazy, crazy SOBs. I remember seeing one thing. I wonder if anyone remembers this. It's only one little thing from years ago, but gives you an idea. It was after the Kursk sinking. That's going back. That was right at the beginning of Putin. Must have been in the very, very early 2000s. I can't remember the exact year, but if anyone's... I guess, Harry, you don't remember the sinking of the submarine Kursk, do you? You're probably not even born. You're not even born, probably. Sorry. So for younger Zoomers, there was this giant submarine, Russian submarine, called the Kursk, named after, I think, the Battle of Kursk from World War II, and it sunk. It was just an accident, and it sunk, and everyone died. And they tried to save the people, and they failed, and everyone died. All right. And there was some sort of press conference going on during that or after that, where one of the mums of the dead sailors, some little old Russian lady, stands up and just starts heckling. I can't remember if it was Putin himself or some sort of senior admiral. I think it might have been Putin. She just starts standing up, sort of screaming, like in despair and mourning. You know, some poor bereaved mum. And some Russian agents, whoever they were, just come up behind her and, silence her. I can't remember if they injected her with something in the neck, or it was like some sort of chloroform thing over her. I can't remember what they did, but they come up behind her and basically just like somehow sort of immediately render her unconscious and just bundle her away. And ideally, the Russians wouldn't have wanted that to be on camera, but it was on camera. Right? It's not Soviet era Russia. Right, it's not at the height of Stalin's terror. That was in the early 2000s. The number of journalists in Russia that just disappear, that are critics of Putin and the Kremlin, that just disappear. Quite a lot. If you accuse Putin, just like any leader of any sort of cartel, if you live in their jurisdiction and you're rude about them, quite likely to just end up disappeared or just murdered. Anyway, that Navalny, Oh, they poisoned him with Russian... they poisoned him with South American frog poison, did they? Yeah, well, I wouldn't put anything past them. Absolutely wouldn't put anything past them. All right, so that's one of the main stories today. It's not funny, I don't know why I'm laughing. It's like a nervous laughter. Putin poisons people all the time. Yeah, so that's happening. It was like... But there you go. All right, the little blurb, just from the BBC under the iPad, because again, it gives us sort of a fairly half-decent overview. The aftermath, after the UK and its European allies said Russia killed opposition leader Alexei Navalny with a frog toxin, continues to lead some papers on Monday. The iPaper says the UK plans to, quote, slash vital funding to counter Russian operations, quote, against the country, as well as planning, quote, new sanctions against Moscow, quote, following the poisoning announcement. Opposition parties have called the funding changes to security, quote, deeply irresponsible, quote, the paper reports. So there you go. It's like Russia is more dangerous than ever and there should be new sanctions against them, but we're going to slash funding for any of that. Classic under this government. Classic Labour stuff. Yeah, classic. Moan about everything and then slash the funding to it. But if you really thought it was in our interests, really genuinely thought it was in our national interest to be much more vigilant than we already are against the Russians, you wouldn't slash the funding, would you? But yet they are, because that's what they do. Because every single thing the Labour government does is not in our national interest. All right, next on the papers, the Metro. Ugh. Yuck. Revolting. How dare they? The brass neck on the Metro. Everyone that works at the Metro, the brass neck on you for turning up every morning and continuing to publish this rag. Disgusting. As critics' frog toxin murder revealed, Yvette Cooper, the Foreign Secretary, truth is antidote to Putin's poison. Yeah, if you say so, love. Haggard old globalist shill idiot Yvette Cooper there. Foreign Secretary urges new sanctions as science links Russian leader to Navalny jail murder. Why do you have to write things like that? Who writes or speaks like that in any other context than paper headlines? It's like the writers of these things are like, it's like a self-parody. Foreign Sec, just think of the English of this. Foreign Sec urges new sanctions as science links Russian leader to Navalny jail murder. What? Speak normally. All right. The Financial Times, the FT. Europe visit. Rubio fails to allay concerns. There's a big meeting in Munich, in Germany. Big meeting for lots of the world leaders, lots of the world's foreign secretaries. Rubio as Secretary of State is the American equivalent of a foreign secretary. And lots of the leaders. And a lot of the old school globalist lefty European leaders trying to are throwing shade at J.D. Vance, who was there, and Rubio and by proxy Trump and the Americans in general for sort of, what, not endlessly funding their defence, for Trump actually standing up for American interests. Got some problem with that. Well, of course they have, because it was a free ride, wasn't it? But the old world order doesn't exist anymore, Chancellor Merz is complaining about. Yeah, the old world order was crap, though, wasn't it? It got Europe invaded, demographically replaced, or on the road to that, anyway. Yeah, and the old world order doesn't work for me, personally, Chancellor Merz. So let's try something new. We tried it your way. That ended with the industrial rape of our women folk. So I'm not interested in your old order. Let's have some nationalism instead, shall we? Globalism doesn't work. All right. Kremlin enlists former Wagner Group agents for Europe sabotage campaign. Does it? If you say so. Spy chiefs tap Prigozhin network. Okay, yeah. Vulnerable recruits hired for ops. Aim to sow chaos on NATO soil. All right. If you say so. Again, if you say so. Summer puts Musk on notice with new online safety laws to cover AI chatbots. Yeah, they've got a real problem with Grok. They're pretending they've got a problem with Grok being able to generate pictures of people in bikinis. When it's obviously all about freedom of expression. That Elon allows some freedom of expression on Twitter. Or X, rather. Not there's full freedom of expression on X. There's loads of things you can't say. Loads of things the second you type it, you get banned off of Twitter. But some freedom of expression is allowed on Twitter, and even that isn't good enough for the lefties, for the communists, the crypto-communists, Starmer. All right, one thing that is conspicuous by its absence today on the front pages and on the websites is that over the weekend, or on Friday afternoon, Friday evening, it broke that Rupert Lowe's movement, Restore Britain, of which I'm wearing a tie, pretty snazzy. I'm a Restore Britain partisan. I'm going to make no bones about it. Absolutely no bones. Proud of it. That movement was announced that it's going to be an actual party now. It's what everyone wanted, really, or what a lot of people wanted. It's going to be an actual full-blown political party. And Rupert Lowe put out a video and all that sort of thing, and it was talking about mass re-migration. Yeah. Taking the country back, among many other things, among many other sort of pretty damn based, actually really reasonable, normal policies that just aren't completely against the interests of the natives. So I'm for Restore. I will be for Restore. You know, this podcast isn't regulated by Ofsted. Ofsted? Ofcom. There's too many teachers in my family obsessed by Ofsted. This isn't regulated by Ofcom, so I can be biased. And I make no bones about it. I'm not going to pretend I'm not. No, I've got my own thoughts and feelings. Sorry, not sorry. I've got my own view of the world. Take it or leave it. And anyway, that is that Reform and Nigel and Zia and Matt Goodwin and all of them are a containment project and are not interested in doing what's necessary to save Britain, i.e. deporting, probably almost certainly against their will most of the time, lots and lots of people, perhaps millions of people. And Restore are for that. I've got a giant policy, 118 page long policy document all about re-migration. So I shall be for Rupert Lowe and Restore. There's talk, of course, from a lot of the super hardline reformers. Of course, that annoys them, terrifies them. That it splits the vote. It splits the vote. You're going to split the right-wing vote. Oh, don't split the right-wing vote, otherwise Labour will stay in forever. What, are you pro-Starmer? Are you a lefty? If you don't get behind Nige, you must be a lefty. You must be pro-Labour. You're going to split the vote. No, there's no splitting of the vote because reform isn't right-wing. So there's no splitting of the vote. Reform is splitting the vote, if anything. Reform is taking votes away from Restore, if anything. Now, if you can't get your mind around the concept that there's the Uni Party, which is all the parties, including Reform, and then there's Rupert Lowe and real patriots that want their country back, that's the dividing line, not whether Nigel is at the top of the party or not. And so it's not splitting the vote. There's those that want re-migration and their country back and those that don't, and reform are on that side of the equation. Because according to Nige, it was impossible, wasn't it? When Steve Edgington asked him about mass deportations, mass re-migration, he said it's impossible. If we alienate the Muslim vote, we lose. That's what Nigel said, wasn't it? He's a complete sieve nat, isn't he? Not even that, barely. He's happy to say he's not a populist, wasn't he, Nigel? Not even that. That somebody like Tommy, hardline Sivnat Tommy, is beyond the pale to Nigel. Okay, so no vote is being split. No right-wing vote is being split because Reform aren't right-wing. They're barely centrist. They're basically globalists. They're certainly like uniparty, WEF aligned, aren't they? So don't tell me about this. The vote is being split. It's not being split. There's those that want their country back and those that don't. And Reform don't seem like they want to do that. So there you go. I should be pro restore. If you like that, feel free to remain part of the glorious band they've chosen for you. If you don't like that, well, what can I say? On your bike. Jog on. No, don't. Stay. Watch this anyway. All right, I thought I had to mention that because I actually don't look at the chat very often at all, but sometimes it sort of flashes up here. Very occasionally, especially a super chat. And I saw someone say, Mike Graham's not talking about it. Yeah, well, that's because Mike Graham is a milquetoast boomer. That's because Mike Graham isn't very based at all. Oh, yeah, and if you want pro-reform, then who's that? Who's the guy who does the other breakfast show? The really annoying Harry. Who's the other guy? The really annoying TV...
Is it Jeremy Kyle?
That's it, Jeremy Kyle. Couldn't even remember him. From yesteryear. Over the hill, Jeremy Kyle. Is it? Yeah, Jeremy Kyle. Yeah, yeah. I don't really watch him, but I've seen bits and bobs. I think he's explicitly... Well, he is, isn't he? He's explicitly pro-reform. He's sort of in reform and stuff. So if you want a reform breakfast show, you can bob on to Jeremy Kyle. If you want pro restore, yours truly, your history bro. And if you want some milquetoast nothing in between grey nothing burger, you can go to Mike Graham, can't you? All right. Let's go back to the papers, none of which mention any of this. Even though restore, just one last thing to say, there was some polling I saw on Sunday, so only a couple of days into it, and it was just one poll, so take from it what you will. But Restore was already polling above the Lib Dems. Like, one poll had them at, like, 10% already. Which blows out of the water, like, the SNP and even Lib Dems and stuff. Again, it's one poll. So, you know, who knows. But I already saw also on Sunday that one Reform councillor defected to Restore. I know it's only one councillor, but, you know, it's within a day or two. And the Advance will fold in. It's already said they'll fold into it, or likely to. I think they'll have to take some sort of internal polling and stuff, but we'll see. Let's get behind it. I'm interested in it. I want it because the demographics are destiny, aren't they? I don't want our people... to become a hated and despised and marginalised demographic minority in our own ancestral homeland, our only ancestral homeland. That would be catastrophic. If native Brits on these islands got treated the way white people did in Zimbabwe or South Africa or something. I don't want to see that. Right? It's as serious as that, isn't it? Reform don't seem particularly bothered about that. Remember Dicey saying, well, I won't be around to see it anyway, so... Really? Mental. Whereas the Honourable Mr Lowe MP is prepared to stand up and say it how it is. Lovely stuff. All right, back to the papers. The Independent. The Independent says this, a bit odd. As world leaders wring their hands over Ukraine, this is the reality of daily life in Kiev, battling to survive winter as Putin's latest strategy targets power supplies. It's dark, it's cold, it's endless. And then there's a picture of like some communal open-air soup kitchen type deal going on. That's weird, because I see clips coming out of Kiev all the time with young people going to nightclubs and having a good time, drinking it up and weeping it up. far be it from me to suggest that the Independent is just, you know, misrepresenting the reality of what's going on the ground in Kyiv. Kiev. I'm going to say Kiev. It was always Kiev until recently, until this war started. Suddenly you have to pronounce it Kyiv. No, I'm an Englishman and I'll anglicise words and it says Kiev. If you don't mind. Alright. The Tory graph. What's the Tory graph going with? Oh, it's an interesting story. Trump to give Quran burner US refuge. A State Department in talks to allow free speech victim to flee Britain if he loses case. That's interesting, isn't it? So if anyone remembers, just real quick to go over this again. That there was a guy burning a Quran. This is in London. Some sort of foreign dude, to begin with, burning a Quran in public outside an embassy or something, wasn't it? Some other completely random foreign dude, sort of, is just passing by, sees it, gets in a fight with him, then buggers off, goes, gets a knife and comes back and starts slashing at him. He was spared jail. I think he did get community service and a fine or something. But he was spared jail for what was you could describe as attempted murder, certainly ABH or GBH or something. He was spared jail. But the guy burning the Quran, he was prosecuted as well. And I believe he was found guilty, and that now he's going through the appeals process. I think that's what's going on here. Certainly, anyway, he was in trouble for daring to burn a Quran in Britain. Anyway, the State Department, Mr. Trump's State Department, says that they might give him refuge should his case fail. All right, Starmer under fire over journalist smears. I think that's a story about there's a movement called Labour Together, and one of the cabinet office secretaries called cabinet office ministers called Josh Simons was involved in that, and that before Labour came to power, the Times or the Sunday Times did some exposés about them, that they'd done some dodgy financial dealings to the tune of £700,000, and they were butthurt about that, so they got some sort of third party. It's all a bit storming the teacup, really, but they got some third party organisation, an American one, I believe, anyway, to look into, to spy on the actual journalists, the individual journalists, to try and get smears on them. Anyway, all of that is just dirty and weird, and you don't really do that in, like, free societies much, do you? That is sort of Putin level, that is sort of crappy behaviour from Labour Together. I think they were fully found guilty by the Electoral Commission or some sort of ethics committee or something or other. Like, it's not just my opinion. Other people, independent bodies, found that Labour Together had done things wrong. Josh Simons, MP, incidentally also the MP that was put in charge of, one of them that was put in charge of the ID card initiative thing. Labour Together, Josh Simons, MP, ugh, gross. The type of thing, the type of people that should be nowhere near power in this country. Nowhere near. All right. Democracy denied to 15 million voters if elections are delayed again. Yeah, can't deny that. If that's the number anyway, 15 million. Yeah, no denying that. Here's a couple of little stories that are interesting. Look at this one. It says, Obama, aliens are real, but none are kept in US. What? You what, mate? Yeah. Obama did an interview on some podcast or other, some left-leaning podcast, but whatever. He did an interview there and he's asked about all sorts of things. And somehow Area 51 and aliens came up. And Obama goes, yeah, they're real. Aliens are real. Okay. Obama said aliens are real. And then but apparently he went on to say, but I, Obama, have not actually ever seen them. And they're not kept. And anyway, they're not kept to Area 51. There's no massive underground bunker at Area 51. You know, Groom Lake, the Groom Lake test, you know. So there you go. That's the story. That's now real. The Barack Obama, Barry Obama, husband of Big Mike, says aliens are real. There you go. Happy Monday morning. All right, let's move on. The Sun. The Sun's got a bit of slop, have they? Oh, there we go, yeah. £500,000 phone compensation for migrants. Czechs breached human rights fury as they pocket £6,500 each. The little blurb, it's too small there, but I read it earlier, and it was said that a bunch of boat migrants, as soon as they got to Calais, or as soon as the RNLI ferried them to Calais, they had their phones confiscated off them, I believe given back ultimately, but had their phones confiscated off them and checked for data. I guess the police or border force were trying to find out about the smuggling gangs or something or other. And anyway, some fifth columnist human rights lawyers in Bowes, Britain will have a deep look into all of those companies, every single one of those human rights lawyers. Told these migrants, oh, that's breached your European human rights, your human rights as defined by the European courts, and you could sue the British government for doing that, which they did, and they won £500,000, not each. They got, like, yeah, just over £6,500 each, but another 1,300 of them could do the same thing, which would cost us millions, all from the taxpayer's purse. That's mad, isn't it? Just think about it. Just for a moment, just think about what's going on here. Right? These people, invaders. These are just invaders. Right? It's illegal to cross the channel, to cross borders like that without a passport, without permission and everything. That's illegal. So, first and foremost, these are invaders. Enemies of the state. Right, they come across breaking the law by definition. And then when we try and find out exactly what's going on, who they are, etc., all those sorts of things, they then sue us. They then sue us for breaching their human rights. Win, and we have to give them loads of our money. They're invading us and we're paying them because they claim their human rights. That's rich, isn't it? Their human rights have been violated in some way. They're the victims in this. Madness. Absolutely insane. And yet the government refused to leave the ECHR or all the other various things that force us to comply with European ideas of what human rights are. Bowes Britain would scrap all of that. All that legislation immediately, leave the ECHR. Some people say, we don't need to, we've already... Well, we're going to anyway, if it's up to me. We're going to anyway. Scrap all of that. No, Parliament will be entirely sovereign. And whatever we say runs. And we would say all these people are either immediately towed back while still in the water by the Special Boat Service, a 4-2 commander or something. If they do manage to get here, they're immediately detained. No recourse, no appeal, until they're taken back to France or their country of origin. Not allowed in the general population. These people that cross on little boats should not ever get into the general population of this country. Never. Because they're criminals. They're chances. Why would we do that? Why would you do that to your own people? All right. The Daily Express. Oh, it's a good paper. Councils told to prioritise well-lit routes where women walk, travel and wait. Switch on the lights to make our streets safer. Oh, because it's the street lights that make people safe or not, is it? How many looms there are on any given darkened street? That's what determines if women are safe or not, is it? I'll concede that it might be one of the factors. All right, an attack might be slightly more likely to happen in a more dimly lit area. I can accept that. But is that really the point? That if the whole of the United Kingdom was lit up like a Christmas tree at night, there would be no attacks? Do sex attacks not happen in daylight? You don't want to talk about the people doing it, do you? The Express. You don't want to talk about what's really going on. You pretend it's about the lighting, the amount of illumination. That's the key issue, is it? To be fair, I read an article on the website where they did have voices saying that. So throwing a bit of shade unfairly at the Express there, because they did actually represent that view, that it's not really about lighting exactly anyway. Okay. The Times, the venerable Times. Workers' rights reforms push a third of employers to cut hiring. All right. If you need a brainwave, old and steady Trump's youth. Under 16 social media ban may happen this year. Okay. Team GB won some golds in snowball, or won their first ever golds, I think, in snowboarding. Okay. The Daily Mail, utter slop pretend, trying to pretend it's not slop. With all Epstein files now released, furious MPs say it's clear Andrew abused position as UK trade envoy to leak secrets. So what are the police waiting for? Good question, actually. You know, it's a good question. That's the thing about the Mail. There's quite a lot of slop in there, quite a lot of globalist slop. But some base things, some base takes. You've got to give it to them. All right. Because that's a very good question, is it? What are the police waiting for? Why haven't they arrested Andrew Sachs-Coburg? What are you waiting for, police? Dear the police, what's the hold-up? We're waiting. Yeah, he seems to have done something criminal. So, yeah, any day now. Take your time. Police were last night facing mounting calls to launch a full investigation into Andrew Sachs-Coburg's role as the UK's trade envoy. Yeah, he seems to have done things wrong. So, haul him in for questioning. The Guardian. We see you. We'll remember. Right, revealed the true toll of suicides with domestic abuse at their core. Yeah, it says that there's a national scandal that so many women commit suicide due to domestic abuse. Well, that's interesting. That didn't ever used to be the case, particularly in Britain. I wonder what's changed. Just women. General purpose women. No further descriptions beyond that they're women. Domestic abuse, no description particularly about what type of domestic abuse, what type of households. It's just general purpose domestic abuse against completely generic women. Come on. And it's only happening now in the last decade or two. I wonder what changed. Well, British men just become so much more abusive domestically. Is that what's happened in the last 20 years? We haven't become more feminised and weaker. No, we've become much more brutal. Something happened in 1997 which changed things in Britain. I wonder what it was. Well, let's be brutally honest here. This is Muslim women. Lots and lots of Muslim women commit suicide because at home it's absolutely unbearable. It's a living hell. That's what we're talking about. That's what that is. The Guardian won't be as explicit about it as that because they're Islamophiles and they hate Britain. They're fifth columnists, enemies of the people and the state. Filth. All right, the Mirror. Something about when and how Kate and Meghan fell out, or when Wills and Harry fell out. Don't really care. Terrible story about some little girl who went to the beach once years ago in 1999 and got E. coli and died. Horrible, terrible story. There's too much sewage in the water, in the sea, even. The Daily Star, about something about horse racing that no one really cares about. Okay, the Star. Today. Because sometimes the Star comes out with something pretty damn based. It's not all that rare that the Star says something at least mildly based. Today, though, look at this slop. Actual slop. Appeal for King to save UK's first Indian restaurant. Keep calm and carry on. Keep calm and curry on. The Star joins campaign to rescue piece of cultural history. Is it really part of cultural history? Your Daily Star is supporting a bid to save Britain's first ever Indian restaurant from closure. Campaigners want the King to rescue the 100-year-old Veraswamy in London, which sparked our love of curry and beer. No, let it close down, I don't care. That's not really part of our cultural history particularly. It's a stretch to say that, isn't it? Who cares? Curry is slop. I don't eat curry. Eat real food. Eat proper food. Don't eat foreign slop. Let's not have hardly any curry houses in this country. I wouldn't care if there wasn't a single curry house in this country. There'll be some pro curry people out there aghast by that take. We've got the recipes. You can make it if you really want it. Do we need our country peppered with hundreds of thousands, or at least it must be at least tens of thousands of curry houses, most of which fail to pass hygiene standards very often? Do we really care about that restaurant? That's front page news. That the Star really wants this one curry house in London not to close down. Whatever, indefinitely. What, make it a grade one listed building? It can never close. It's a World Heritage site. What do you want? If it's not making money and it can't continue, let it close down. Who cares? Curry is slop. All right. That's the papers. Let's have a look at... Let's have a look at our, before we go and move on to the websites, the poll we did. Let's have a look at the poll. What's our poll? Harry, can you bring it up on my screen? Engage. We've put, would you vote restore? Okay, well, this is then a referendum on how closely aligned I am with the glorious band, The Chosen Few. How many of you out there are going to be pro-restore people as opposed to pro-reform people? How closely, how in line, in tune am I with my public? Right, we put, would you vote restore? 91%, a cool 91% of you. Over 1,800 votes, pushing up to knocking 2,000 votes. 91% of you say yes. Glorious, wonderful. Guys. You're my peeps. You're my people. I'm almost welling up. 91%. And 6% of you said maybe as well. So, you know, I should try and convince you over the next 3 years. A mere 3% of you say no. Get out. Go on, off you go. No, don't. Stay. I love you. I still love you. We can make this work, baby. No, I get it. You are, in all seriousness, of course, you're welcome. All right. That's nice. We're nearly all on the same page here. Or at least the... it's still ticking up. 1,900 votes. 19,040 votes and climbing. Still climbing. So, brilliant. Brilliant. We're in harmony. All right. Shall we move on? That's great. That's a vindication. All right, let's have a look at the websites. So, first of all then, the BBC, the Beeb, Auntie, Old Auntie. rotten old evil auntie. Police framed man for murder of Korean student, new evidence suggests. Don't care about that. Don't care about that story whatsoever. In fact, there wasn't much. There was one story. Let me just jump straight to a story on ITV. Again, there's no mention of Rupert Lowe's rape gang inquiry at all. No mention of Restore becoming a party at all. It's still in the phase where they're trying to ignore it. That's the thing, isn't it? Quite often you get ignored, then you get ridiculed, then they really go after you, and then you win. We're still in the phase where they're ignoring it. All right, was there one particular story I thought was of note? There was one somewhere. Let's see, was it on the Mail? Oh, here's it, on Sky News. I was pressing the call button and no one came. Black mothers on dehumanising maternity care. Only affects black women, actually. That's interesting, isn't it? That poor maternity care on the NHS only really affects black women, if you believe this editorial line. Black women, I was told by a midwife to shut up. Yeah, you get brilliant, perfect maternity care if you're white and terrible if you're black. Of course, that's not true. Of course, that's nonsense, isn't it? Absolute nonsense. There was one on the... Was it on the Express? Oh, no, yeah, it was just the Obama thing. That there was more detail about Obama saying there was aliens. I thought was... well, I can't find it now. I think the webpage is updated a bit. On the Mail, Angela, I go with the Andrew thing. Again, what are the police waiting for? Calls for criminal probe into Andrew Grower's fresh claims show it's clear he abused his position. Yeah, it's reasonably clear, isn't it? Oh, I've just... okay. Oh, there you go. Moment pro-Palestine activist follows and pesters Jewish Little Britain star Matt Lucas at the London Tube Station. Oh, it's a problem now. Oh, Matt Lucas has been pestered, so it's a problem now. Again, I'm not really having a pop at the Mail particularly there, but just that whole angle, that whole line. Now it's a problem. Right, not after 7/7. Oh, no. No, not after the Manchester Arena bombing. After the Manchester Arena bombing, you have to not look back in anger. But now a Jewish Little Britain star, George Lucas, has been pestered at a station. Now it's a problem. Mad, innit? All right, there's a suggestion that Lindsay Hoyle, who I really don't like, Sir Lindsay, has done something wrong, according to this article. Common speaker Sir Lindsay Hoyle accused of trying to dodge scrutiny over travel expenses after quietly changing rules around publication. Yeah, I don't trust that Lindsay Hoyle at all. The whole point of being the speaker is that you're entirely impartial. He isn't. Of course he's partisan. Of course, he tries to spin everything the way he wants. Lindsay Hoyle, give me a break. Gross. Oh, here we go. Here's one. Reform opens door to, quote, patriotic election pact with Conservatives. If it means keeping the left-wing coalition out. A senior figure in Reform UK, Zia Youssef, has opened the door to forming a future election pact with the Tories. Well, they've basically won the same thing now already, aren't they, really? It's the uni party. Yeah. Yeah, forming a future election pact with the Tories if it would keep a left-wing coalition out of power. Zia Youssef on Sunday admitted his party would do the, quote, patriotic thing. Is that the patriotic thing? Is it? Is it, though? If faced with the prospect of a government comprising Labour, the Greens and the Lib Dems. If you say so. I mean, it's all uni party one way and the other, isn't it, though? They'll all do the same thing, i.e. keep the borders open, i.e. not deport millions of people that need to be deported. What would it really matter? What would it really matter if it's a Reform and Conservative coalition or a Labour, Lib, Green coalition? What's the real difference to us, actual patriots? They'll both do the same thing. Keep the borders open for legal migration on a giant scale. probably fail to do anything about the small boats, gaslight anyone into wanting anything other than that. Gaslight and demonise people that want a mass remigration. Call us all Nazis and bigots and whatever. So what does that matter? What does it matter? Yeah, reform. Make a pact with the Conservatives then. You've already filled your ranks with them. You've already revealed yourself to be a uniparty establishment containment project, haven't you? So what difference does it make? Do what you're going to do. The Sun, mostly slop. There was there one maybe mildly interesting story in The Sun? The webpage is taking a moment to load, so we'll just move on. All right, should we jump across the pond? Let's have a quick look at what the Yankees are talking about. In the New York Times, is Xi's purge of the military a search for absolute loyalty? Yeah, well, that's what communist regimes need, an absolute loyalty. Because normal people that are oppressed by it will want to overthrow it at all times. So they have to endlessly be vigilant against counter-revolution. Their revolution is never over. That's the nature of communism. There you go. That's the nature of centralised command economy, centralised power, a one-party system, is that you have to constantly stamp on the necks of anyone that says anything contrary to it. That's the problem with China. Or communism in general. Three American speeches at Munich and plenty of confusion. It's not really confusion, is it? Unless you're pretending to be confused. The Washington Post, Trump claims victory on affordability, but public anxieties persist. Again, it's never enough for the Washington Post. It's never enough. If Trump's trying to be optimistic, that's bad. Like if Trump hugs an American flag or something, that's bad. Just nonsense, isn't it? Just Trump derangement syndrome at every turn. Six congressional primaries, they explain where the country is headed. Yeah, right. I trust the Washington Post's analysis from an actual Karen. Yeah, I trust that analysis, sure. Yeah. All right, next. He spent decades perfecting his voice. Now he says Google stole it. Don't care. NPR's David Green thinks an AI voice has copied his voice. Could not care less. Next. Let's go over to Down Under. Oh, yeah, how good. Made things worse. Chalmers' budget credentials exposed as massive spending agenda resurfaces. Jim Chalmers would have plunged Australia into deeper debt and deficit had he been treasurer during the pandemic, despite his claims of sensible economic management. There you go. Liberals proposed ban on immigrants from 13 countries, including Egypt and Philippines. Yeah, that's prudent, isn't it? Why not do that? Yeah. Not much of great interest out of Japan. They're focusing largely on sport and the Winter Olympics. China, the exact same thing as usual. Xi extends Chinese New Year greetings to ring in Year of the Horse. World Insights. Africa hails Xi's AU message for joint pursuit of modernisation. Global South solidarity. All right, the Ruskies. What are the old Ruskies banging on about this morning? West succeeded in making Ukraine European in terms of Nazism. Did it? Did it? Yeah, Ukraine and Russia's soul-searching and hand-wringing about Nazism. It's got nothing to do with England and Britain. We did our part in the 40s, didn't we? Both sides accusing each other of being Nazis and stuff. Being fascist and Nazis. Funny, isn't it, Ukraine, that the Russian side of the equation accuse the Ukrainians often of being Nazis and fascists. And there is evidence of that sort of thing among some Ukrainian military or paramilitary units. But also Zelensky is Jewish, isn't he? And seems to be controlled, if some of the Epstein leaks are to be believed, by some sort of hyper-elite Jewish cabal. So what, they're both sort of the hyper-elite Jewish network and Nazis, are they? Make it make sense. All right. Norway leads Olympic medal standings after 9 days. Does it? Does it? Really interesting. US Department of Justice publishes list of 300 celebrities who appear in Epstein files. Yeah, that's interesting. That the DOJ published a name of all the celebrities that they say are in it. But those are, loads of the names are just people that have been mentioned that aren't necessarily guilty of any crime. Like Elvis is mentioned in it. Elvis, who died in the 70s, couldn't possibly have had anything to do with it, you know, like Kurt Cobain. There you go. Prince Harry, Kim Kardashian, Kurt Cobain and Bruce Springsteen. Like, did Kurt Cobain go to Little St. James and sexually abuse underage girls? Doubt it, right? Anyway, the list of names is interesting anyway, isn't it? Some of the critics have said they're deliberately muddying the waters by printing these names of people you may have been mentioned. You know, there's an email between two actual sex criminals and they happen to mention Elvis for whatever reason. So Elvis's name appears on this list now. It's a bit muddying the waters, isn't it? All right, what are the Germans? Oh, we're very near the top of the hour. What are the Germans talking about this morning? Some real slopping build. Look, it's another week of winter. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's a horrible bit of footage. Someone tried to abduct a little toddler in the supermarket. What? What? Mad. All right. Build is pretty sloppy, isn't it? The French, what is Le Monde, the froggies, talking about this morning. A drunk woman is shameful. Why women face greater risks but receive less support for alcohol addiction? I don't know, why do they? Do they really though? Do I care about that? It says, although women as a whole drink less alcohol than men, they are physiologically more vulnerable to its toxicity. Yet these increased health risks are often met with silence, violence and delays in assessing care. Not important, really. Not important to me. I'm not an alcoholic. Nor any of the women that are close to me. So, next. Oh yeah, just a great picture there of Artemis 2. NASA continues SLS hydrogen leak tests. So the Artemis 2 shot has been delayed till, I believe, next month now. But there it is, the majestic, the wonderful SLS giant rocket there. And there's going to be four people sitting up here go to the moon next month, slingshot around the moon and come back without landing on it. If you believe any of that is real. If you believe NASA's real. If you believe space is real. Have you ever been to space? Oh, you haven't? Oh, well, you can't confirm it's real then. Space. Okay, there you go. Anyway, giant thing, fantastic thing. Some of the greatest things humanity has ever achieved there. All right, let's have a look at this day in history as we are right near the top of the hour. The 16th of February. What happened on this day, the 16th of February, in history? In 1659, the first known cheque ever written for £400. And it's now on display in Westminster Abbey. Interesting. Mildly interesting. Very mildly interesting. Westminster Abbey is one of the best places in the world. For me. It's one of the most incredible spaces in the world. Go into Westminster Abbey and be amazed. Look round at what's actually there and be in awe. That's all I'll say. In 1840, American Charles Wilkes discovers the Shackleton Ice Shelf in Antarctica. Why isn't it called the Wilkes Ice Shelf? But yeah, anyway, that's interesting. Very early on in Antarctic exploration there. On this day, in 1923, Howard Carter opens the internal burial chamber of Egyptian pharaoh Tutankhamun and finds the sarcophagus, and there's an image of it there. Yeah, the famous Howard Carter discovery of Tutankhamun and his golden burial mask. And, well, a whole burial chamber of Pharaoh. Was it 18th dynasty, is it, if memory serves? Or is it a later one? I think it's 18th dynasty. Could be way off with that. That's purely from memory. That hadn't been grave robbed in ancient times. Remarkable. Fascinating. Lord Carmarthen paid for it. All right. Let's see. Paid for the archaeology, not Tutankhamun's grave treasures. Obviously. On this day, in the 16th of February, in 1959, Castro becomes the 16th Prime Minister of Cuba after overthrowing Batista. Yeah, an important pivotal thing in history, certainly for the history of Cuba. Was it for the best? I mean, Batista wasn't a good guy. Well, no, it is interesting to look up the whole age of Batista and Fidel Castro, everything about it in and around the story. Fascinating story. Batista was not a good guy. Did Cuba get worse under Castro and Castro's particular brand of communism? I would argue yes. Again, it's possible to be anti-Castro without being pro-Batista. Right? It's possible to be anti-Ukraine, anti-Zelensky without being pro-Putin. Anyway, fascinating bit of history there. The life of Fidel Castro is a very, very, very interesting one, whether you agree with his politics or not. All right, which of course I don't. All right, let's have a look at the Super Chats and Rumble Rants. On Rumble Rants, TomRat247 says, brutal, but I think Rupert needs to take Pete North's critique to heart, lest they fall to solipsism. I guess you meant solipsism. Agree with you that restore is the only path. Thank you, Tom Rat. I don't know exactly what Pete North's critique is. I'm sorry. We've had Pete North on the podcast before. I must admit, I don't agree with every take Pete North comes out with. Some of it's very good and based. I think I follow him on Twitter, but I certainly don't keep track of everything Pete North tweets. So I don't know what his critique is. But there you go. That you agree with me that restore is the only path. Well, that's all we need, right? All right. Not just a string that says, restore Britain, the party of decolonising Britain. The silence is disappointingly predictable. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've got to decolonise Britain. Yeah. Let's take our country back. Let's stop apologising for it as well. Be unapologetic about it. Yeah, the science is disappointingly predictable. Well, at some point they won't be able to be silent. They won't be able to ignore it anymore, will they? Just will not be able to. Let's build this thing. Let's build a monster. All right, YouTube Super Chats. Let's have a look. Field Marshal Dool Browning Hoyt says... That's a Chris Dangerfield reference, by the way. I don't want to claim that's mine. Check out Chris. How are you, Chris? Let's have a chat one day. Hope you're all right, buddy. All right, Dawn Browning says, good morning, beautifuls. Low is the go. Low is the go. Boom. Low is the go. Aim higher, vote low. I'm not sure if Tom Rosell come out with that first, if he actually dreamt that up, but I certainly saw him say it first on Twitter. What a slogan that is. Aim higher, vote low. Brilliant. Or low is the go. Help me, Lobi One Kenobi. You're my only hope. There's loads of things you could say. Okay. What's this person called? Reverend Norse. Reverend Norse says... seen lots of advanced supporters sceptical about a merger with Restore since they find Restore's structure non-democratic. Well, we don't know what the structure is exactly yet, do we? I don't think. But anyway, low trust in low along with the advanced college gives us a voice mentality. Well, I don't really know. I never joined advanced. I don't really know exactly the internal structure of advanced or anything like that. I did see a video from... What's the guy's name? What's the name of the leader of Advance? I've done an interview with him, but his name's gone out of my mind. I can't remember. He's very, very famous. God, what's his name? Can't believe I can't remember. Ben Habib. There you go. Ben Habib. So Ben Habib. I've got a long form interview with him, if you're interested, on lotusseaters.com. Me and him in conversation for like an hour. Pardon me, an hour and a half or whatever it is. Did see him come out with a video saying that Advance and Restore are basically the same thing. There's no difference between their aims and ideologies. And that if needs be, Advance will just fold into Restore because it's not about Ben Habib. It's not even about Rupert Lowe. It's about what's best for the country. So if any Advance supporters are getting all butthurt about it, well, I don't know. Deal with it. I don't know. If that's what Ben Habib wants to do, what's the problem? What's the problem? Ben Habib was right saying that there's no difference really in policy or ideology or ultimate goals between them. So what's the problem? Saying something about non-democratic structure. Well, I'm not sure if we even know exactly what the structure of Restore the Party will be yet. So I don't know. We'll see. Dem Tatties says... says, Mike Graham won't speak about Lowe. Thoughts? Yeah, well, I said earlier on, didn't I? I'll be talking about it. Mike Graham can do what he wants. I don't care what Mike Graham does or says or thinks about anything. All right. Luke Stewart 6155 says, G'day, Bo. Globalism would only work if we brought back cultural superiority and the British Empire. Yeah, I mean, I guess I understand the angle you're taking. Yeah. I mean, there are of course different types, different concepts of what globalism could be. It just seems like we're lumbered with the one that the Uni Party, the one that the WEF Party, the Party of Davos, whatever you want to say, the blob. Their version of it is simply flooding us with foreign people until we're a minority in our despised. A marginalised minority in their own ancestral homeland. That's their version of it, isn't it? That's their stripe of what globalism is. Doesn't have to be that, did it? Didn't have to be that, but there you go. They're insane enemies of ours, so that's what they're trying to do. Lammy is my king, says, will you actually stand for Restore, Bo? Well, I said on the State of Politics, my channel with Nate, Mr. H Reviews, State of Politics, I said on there, and I think I also said it on Twitter when someone asked, if they want me, if they'll have me, I'll happily stand. Yeah, why not? I would totally understand if they wouldn't know for whatever reason, because I've said so many spicy things. If they'll have me, I'll do it. Sure, I'll step up. I'm not afraid. Yeah, sure. But if they don't, I'll still be cheering them on 100%. No problemo. Alright, Luke Stewart 6155 again said, it would be nice if the papers also talk about the fact that it was Boris Johnson who convinced them not to do the peace treaty in the first time. Right, talking about the Ukraine peace deal that Boris somehow seems like kind of personally scuppered. Yeah, that was a crazy moment. They never talk about it, never bring that up, do they? Never bring that up. That's so weird. That's so weird and gross. I wonder if Boris Alexander Johnson himself loses any sleep over that. All the people that if a peace deal had been struck at that point, if all the blood that's on his hands now, subsequent to that, all the families ruined, the human misery of that. I bet he doesn't lose a wink of sleep because he was told to do that by God knows who, and he did a good job. He's been a good boy. Were the shekels worth it, Boris? Okay. Brandon Warsfold says, hi, Bo. I love this show. I tune in most mornings. I was just wondering if you have ever done an episode on epochs of philopomenin. Well, I can't even... because I can't even read that word. Philopomenin. Maybe you've, maybe that's, I don't know what that word is. Philopomen. Philopomen. I don't know what they say. No, I'm afraid not. Sorry. I don't know if you've misspelt something there. Oh, a.k.a. the last Greek. If not, I hope you get round to it someday. Okay, you gave quite a generous amount of money there as well. So I will look into that. I will Google that. Not only have I not done content on that, on the Epochs of the Lotus Eaters, I'm not even really aware of what it is, who that is. So I do apologise. But I will Google it. I'll Google it this morning. Have a look. Find out. Maybe I'm aware of him under a different name, perhaps. I don't know. But anyway, thanks for the super chat. Really appreciate that. Mr. Pastry 2010 doesn't say anything, but just gives a donation of money. Cheers, buddy. The same guy did say something this time. He said, Restore Britain becomes RB, a.k.a. Rupert's Boys. Yeah. Team Rupert. Rupert's Boys. Prince Rupert. The good Prince Rupert came to save us. Lovely stuff. Lovely stuff. Nicholas Phelps, 3872, says, curry makes bad breath. Yeah, curries. I've never really liked curry. I mean, all joking aside, all seriousness, I don't mind a curry. Like a Thai red curry is not too bad. What is it? Yeah, there's the odd curry. A nice biryani isn't too bad. But yeah, most curry is pretty much disgusting slop, isn't it? Let's be honest. It really is. Mr. Pastry sent another bit of money and no comment that came through. Emma B73 did the same thing, so thank you for that. Zilzal dot says, Cumbo, restore, will fix it. Keep calm and curry on. Yeah, good, cool. Restore or fix it. And they'll fix it for you. And you, and you. Okay. Right, Pix304 says, the hype for Restore is unreal. Congrats on your 250th Epochs episode. Thank you very much. Yeah, this Sunday just gone was the 250th episode of Epochs. Another 10 episodes, and that will be the 5-year anniversary. 5 years. It's gone quick, hasn't it? Seems like only yesterday I first started working at Lotus Eaters. But no, thanks for saying that, and thanks for the money. Luke Stewart says, on some good news, the people who stole Egyptian artifacts from the Happy Museum in Queensland, Australia, were caught and they were returned. Oh, nice. I didn't see that story. I didn't see anything about that. But if that's true, that's great. Sorry, guys, can you not speak at full volume while I'm recording? What's going on there? So unprofessional. No, I'm only joking. Very nearly finished here. Let's start wrapping up the show. That's great. If there was some Egyptian artifacts stolen from a museum and they've now been found and returned, brilliant, great. Okay, Global Church History says it's Anglo-Saxon historian Alderic Vitalis's birthday. Oh, that's interesting. That's very interesting. Yeah, I've read a fair bit of Alderic Vitalis. He's one of the great sources for Anglo-Saxon history. If you read a normal book about it, quite often you'll get a quote from the same 5 or 6 sources, and yeah, Alderic Vitalis is one of the go-to. I think Alderic Vitalis, if memory serves, is that he's from a later period, slightly later period, but he's talking about the Anglo-Saxon period. Anyway, interesting, classic, brilliant super chat there from Global Church History. Love it. Thank you, sir. All right, and the last one so far is Luke Stewart, 6155, says, goddamn autocorrect. I meant to say the Abbey Museum in Queensland, Australia, which hosts a great medieval festival once a year in July, which I get to reenact the Varangian Guard. Oh, nice. Lovely reenactment stuff. Some of my greatest childhood memories are going to a fete or something like that, or a medieval type thing, and seeing blokes dressed up in full plate mail or whatever going at each other, a joust, a reconstruction of a joust, all that sort of thing. Love it. Brilliant. Brilliant stuff. All right, that's the show. It's now 14 minutes past 9 in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time, on Monday, the 16th of February, in the year of our Lord, 2026. You have been the chosen few, the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers. Thank you for joining in. Over 10% of you agree that this is the Restore Breakfast Show. Pro Restore. The Lotus Eaters Breakfast Club, hashtag the real LBC. Bose Breakfast Club, hashtag the real BBC. All right then, until tomorrow, try and make the best of the day, if you can. I know it's not always possible, but carpe diem, seize the day. Make it count, if you can. All right then, until tomorrow morning then, take care.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp. I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.